leprosy throughout Scripture is associated with sin. If you have not leprosy of the flesh, you certainly have it of the soul. You must be cleansed. Something has to be done about this, or else you are afar off. You're distant from God. You cannot come up to Him. You cannot approach Him. Not in this life. Ultimately, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Please open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Pastor Rick teaches us today that to be a leper in Jesus' day meant a bleak life, devoid of hope and full of isolation. Leprosy is a powerful analogy because it shows us what sin or spiritual leprosy does to the soul. As sinners, we can't approach the Lord because we're not clean. But through Christ, we can be made whole and pure. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Now here's Pastor Rick in the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, verse 12, with today's study.
Let's read Luke's Gospel chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus and fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Somewhere in Galilee, this is going on. He's still in the Galilean ministry, north of Jerusalem, where it is fertile, where it is beautiful. And Luke's introduction of the man into the story is rather abrupt. So is Matthew's. Behold a man, just like that. There he is. And it has no verb. A man suddenly appears, and as the story developed, we know he appears somewhat like a ghoul. He was full of leprosy, Luke tells us. Luke takes note of that, he being a physician, yes, but also understanding the horror of this disgusting disease. And so he says he's full or covered in leprosy. This changes everything about what's taking place. The scene is one of mothers scooping up their children, fathers getting their wives and children and themselves out of the way as quickly as possible, as though a mad dog were coming. Non-lepers parted out of his way like the sea parted from Moses at the approach of this man. But the path to Jesus was now clear. You know, multitudes were always around him. Not right now. The leper moved them out of the way. And whatever the precise disease that it was, and it was very likely Hansen's disease, leprosy, it was horrid nonetheless. It stripped him of life. His condition was extremely serious. All of this is important to what God says to us. I have to continue to develop it a little bit further, but I'm not wasting words on the condition. It's very meaningful to what happens to human beings. Because to be a leper is to be doomed. It is to be without your wife. It is to doom your wife, if you are the male in the story. It is to doom your wife without income or protection or affection of the husband. For the mom, it would cause her to never again be able to touch her child, her children, to only be able to see them from afar off. You were to be without family. This was the way of the leper, an outcast, a castaway. We'll take some of the Old Testament verses concerning it, because God was very detailed, he was very thorough in giving instructions concerning leprosy. So much so, if it got into the house, they'd tear the house down ultimately if they could not rid it. Numbers 5, verses 2 and 3, command the children of Israel that they be put out of the camp, every leper. You shall put out both male and female. You shall put them outside the camp that they may not defile their camps in the midst of which I dwell. What would if this was you? You can't. God does not want you around in the camp that he dwells. You have to be outside somewhere. Leviticus 13, under the law of the leper. And now Leviticus 14 is the cleansing of the leper. But Leviticus 13 is the diagnosis and the quarantine, and the casting out of the leper. In verse 45 of Leviticus 13, Moses writes, now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare. He shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. In the Hebrew, tame, tame, unclean, defiled, corrupted, polluted, contaminated, toxic, deadly. You want what I've got, you come closer. If you want to be stripped from society, stripped from worship in the assembly, then come closer. The shame, the hopelessness, the filth, the misery, all upon this man's life, covered in leprosy. With only other pathetic lepers for companions. Sad meaning to birds of a feather flocking together. Again, this all has meaning. This all comes in an instant to us of how profound a moment this is, how profound it is in Scripture. It says he saw Jesus and fell on his face. That happened to me too. I didn't have the leprosy of the skin, I had leprosy of the soul. I saw Jesus and I fell on my face, and so did hopefully all of you. This leper, this soul, did not see Jesus as a mere carpenter. No, that was for the elitists in Nazareth, but not for this leper in Galilee. He saw him as Messiah. He saw him as a prophet of God, at the very least, with healing in his wings, perhaps as God himself. Matthew introduces his approach, says he fell down and worshiped him. Matthew is making it clear to his audience as he writes that this Jesus is to be worshiped because this Jesus is God the Son. And being God the Son, he is God Almighty. Regardless of what the Mormons say, regardless of what the Jehovah's Witnesses say, they are wrong. They are wrong so far that they doom themselves, ignoring the clear record of Scripture. You cannot take the words of Jesus Christ and put them to the mouth of any angel or human being. They only fit coming from the mouth of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Michael could never say such a thing. He would never say such a thing. And so they will be without excuse. But this man in front of the leper is the Messiah. And the Jews, they grew up in the synagogues. They heard the beautiful things that were said about Messiah. Always God presented the judgment upon the wicked and the salvation of the righteous with a choice for the individual all the time. You want to be part of God's judgment? Here's what you do. You want to be part of his kingdom and the millennial reign and all the glory that he has? Here's what you do. Malachi captures it in his last chapter, chapter 4, in the first two verses. First, he begins with the judgment. He says, for behold, the day is coming. The day is coming, burning like an oven. And all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says Yahweh of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. A very thorough judgment. And then in the next verse, he says, to you who fear my name, The Son of Righteousness, that is like the sunshine, not the Son of the Father. The Son of Righteousness, though it is talking about the Father, shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like a stall-fed calf. And so you have it. Behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says Jehovah of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. To you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. You shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. This leper saw this Jesus Christ as the one who is the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. And so he comes to him. Now the lepers knew to keep their distance. The rabbis had suggested that to enforce this, you throw rocks or stones at them if they got too close. In Luke's gospel, in the 17th chapter, we read this about the leper. Then he, Jesus, entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. See, they understood their place. They knew where there had to be distance. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. A pathetic sight in its beginning. Initially, a pathetic sight. It breaks your heart to see human beings go through this. But they have to raise their voices because they're far away. Now, leprosy throughout Scripture is associated with sin. If you have not leprosy of the flesh, you certainly have it of the soul. And you must be cleansed. Something has to be done about this, or else you are afar off. You're distant from God. You cannot come up to him. You cannot approach him. Not in this life. Ultimately, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. But that it is so presented in Scripture, it is quite haunting to us because it is the mark of sin. So when we come across the word leprosy, we don't pass by it without noticing it. It's not one of the words you miss. You know, sometimes you can be reading a whole paragraph and your mind is elsewhere and you have to go back and read it. But when words like leprosy are in that paragraph, they stand out. They come and get you. They bring you back in. They make you pay attention. God has designed it this way. And the story in the Scriptures of those who have had leprosy, we know them. We know of Moses and Miriam, Gehazi and Naaman. We know of King Uzziah. We know of the four lepers that had nothing to lose on a venture of faith. We know about the leprous stories or the leprous individuals in the stories in the New Testament. And so Moses has put this into Scripture because God told him, Leviticus 13, verse 3, the priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body. And if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore, then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. There that Hebrew word is again, tomei. Deeper than the skin, that's what sin is. It is deeper than the skin. A person can pretend on the outside, but the inside is what it is unless God has cleansed it. And it is only by the blood of Christ can this be dealt with. And this is what the story is all about. This is our message to the world. You're a leper. You're unclean. You must come to him. You must bow down before him because it is right. It is correct because he is worthy. And because of his great love, you'll never regret it. Is there any Christian? Have you met any Christian that has for one instant regretted their salvation? Has regretted that they know Jesus Christ? If it is deeper than the skin, it sits with me. He says here, Luke does in verse 12 of our text, that the leper implored Jesus, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He believed in the power of
of Jesus. Now, already the Lord had been doing miracles. We don't have a record of a leper being cleansed. We have demons being cast out. We have the sick being healed. The diseases being chased out. We have the Pharisees being dealt with, and not yet as intense as they're going to be, but he has already stood up against the religious order that everybody knew was wrong, but they had nothing else. And so there was this knowledge inside the leper that this Jesus was different. There was nothing like him. But he doubted his willingness to expend his glory and his love on one so full of uncleanness, on one so full of leprosy. He doubted that. Have you ever doubted the Lord's willingness? As I've grown in Christ, I've come to make a distinction between his willingness and his mission. It's not that he does not want to help, but there are things that he is doing that disallows him from doing what I want him to do, so that he can achieve his goals, that he can make gains which otherwise would not be. God has a different view on our suffering than we do. He shares it with compassion. He certainly feels it with us. He sympathizes with us. But the mission must come first, because it is more glorious than any instant healing or moment of escape or rest. And when we begin to understand his perspective is better, even if it is painful to me, then I become more useful to him in the midst of it. I don't like it when I see those dark clouds coming of misery, of turmoil, of pain, of whatever it may be. And it comes in so many different flavors. It can be another person. It could be something physical. It could be something unidentifiable. It could be just the task at hand. It's so many things it can be. I don't know if he's willing to undo the circumstances, but I do know that he is willing to love me, that he is willing to make a place for me in eternity in heaven, and by faith, I'm good with that. He trains me this way. He's my instructor. He's my master. I want him and he wants me. It's mutual. He is superior. And I know it. And I want it this way, and so do you. Why? Because he's worthy. He's worth it. He's worth it. He can pull it off. Nobody else can. We need heroes. We need God, Jesus Christ. And so again, to the Jew, uncleanness was more than a horrible disease. It was deeper than the skin, not only physically, but metaphorically. Sin is deeper. It's in the heart, which is why when Moses, the first leper in Scripture, the man of God, the Bible refers to him, Moses, the man of God, was the first leper recorded in Scripture. He turned white as snow at leprosy when his hand touched his heart. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Above all things, who can know it? I, the Lord, know it. That's what Jeremiah goes on to say. I, the Lord, know it. Not long after that verse, Jeremiah will say, I have not stopped being a shepherd after you, who follows you. In the midst of all the things I don't like, in the midst of all the things that you do and don't do, the disappointments, and how it is, I have not stopped being a shepherd after you. That should be what all Christians have in their heart. It's called endurance. Endurance comes from taking the pain. When there's no pain, there's nothing to endure. And Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. And so it meant to be an outcast, as mentioned, from Israel, yes, to be classified with the swine and with the dogs as something that was odious amongst creatures and in creation. The leper therefore prayed that the Lord would remove the shame and the contamination. In verse 13, we continue. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. He did what? What did he do? He touched him? The gasp coming from the crowd in astonishment. Nobody touches the leper. He touched him.
Dr. Paul Brand, who is now with the Lord, who pioneered the world of reconstructive surgery on the hand, primarily on the hand of lepers, working, you know, leprosy, one of the forms of leprosy, it destroys the sense of feelings. The nerves begin, they don't work right. Your sense of feeling begins to go away, and as a result, you begin to hurt yourself. And so when you go to turn a key, and maybe it's rusted shut and you feel a little pain, you stop. But the leper doesn't feel the pain, so he continues to turn until the key cuts to the bone. And then the infection set in. Then he does it again until the limb is lost, the digit or whatever is rots is lost. And he just, his whole body, the membranes in the nose, the facial deformities, all this junk begins to happen to them. Dr. Brand talks about reconstructing lepers' hands and then teaching them how to be sensitive and then sending them away to their home for a while. And then while they're there, they injure themselves or in their sleep, a rat gnaws on one of their limbs and they don't know it. They don't feel it. And they wake up in the morning and there's the damage. And so Paul Brand, and we have the book in the bookstore, I'm sure. There's two volumes, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made and In His Images. I strongly recommend reading them. But he writes, he says, I hate leprosy. Victims who are not treated feel the disease slowly creep over the hands and feet. They then experience the worst effect of all. They lose the ability to sense human contact. You see, that's sin. Sin creeps over the body, makes us insensitive to holy things. We begin to block them out. When the temptation comes, it seduces us away from the King. And the fight is on. But you see, we who believe, we come back and we fight. He continues, I have sometimes wondered why Jesus so frequently touched the people he healed, many of whom must have been unattractive, obviously diseased, unsanitary, smelly. With his power, he easily could have waved a magic wand. He could have just pronounced them clean. There were times he did. But there were times he touched them. I remember when my mother went home to be with the Lord, it was expected, it was a relief because the body, the tent was no longer holding up against what life has to offer in this world. And I was called at night and while I was in bed and my sister informed me she's now gone and went to work the next day. There's nothing else to do. I went to work and I mentioned to the foreman I'd be taking a day or two off and in the days to come. And then he mentioned to the big boss of the job, and I'm working on a barge underneath, one of the bridges in the East River in New York, and I'm just working, and Eddie was his name. He comes along, and he says, I heard about your mom. He puts his hand on my shoulder. He says, that's a tough loss. And I got to tell you, he's not a believer, but there was power in human compassion. I was not emotional over any of these things. But I did not break down and have an emotional moment then, but it has stuck with me almost 30 years now. It has been with me. The power of touch is not a little thing. Now, you men, that works against you too. Don't be so quick to touch one of the sisters on the shoulder. If you're going to hug them, you give them a weird hug. Don't get too close. You might feel comfortable, they don't, and their husbands may be waiting for you outside, dressed in camis because they're on a mission. You see them all black face with the camouflage and the green, you got trouble. So it's okay to just say, how you doing? You don't have to touch them. It used to be a rule, a man didn't shake a woman's hand unless she extended it out to them, but once they entered the workplace, all that went away. Well, anyway, touch. It is a serious business, and I don't ever put my hand on another human being without being mindful of this very thing as a pastor. Now, I've not had to lay hands on someone like Nehemiah did as a pastor,
And if you know the story of Nehemiah, I cursed some of them. I struck them. I pulled out their hair. My kind of man. But anyhow, laying on of hands, be careful.
This has been another edition of Cross Reference Radio with Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. Pastor Rick will continue taking us verse by verse through the Gospel of Luke the next time you join us. Now, we want to be sure to tell you how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Simply log on to www.crossreferenceradio.com. That's crossreferenceradio.com. Our website has today's message available for you to download. Place a marker in your Bibles and join us next time as Pastor Rick will continue this insightful study through Luke's Gospel. That's next time on Cross Reference Radio.